Welcome to the Homeschool Show with NCHE. Our goal is to help you homeschool with confidence and joy. I'm your host, Matthew McDill. Today on Homeschool News, we're going to share a little more research with you on socialization. And then we're going to have homeschool conversations. Today, I'm going to show part of my conversation with Will and Miki Addison, founders of Straight Edge Ministries and Culture Proof. And they are going to be one of our featured speakers at the Thrive Conference coming up. In Wisdom from the Word, we're going to ask this question. Does God promise to help us raise and homeschool our kids? Does he promise to help us? Homeschool Helps with Amanda. She's going to answer this question. Should we use online classes and resources in our homeschools? So you'll want to hang on to the end so you can hear that. Okay, we're going to homeschool news, and we're talking about another review of some research that Dr. Brian Ray put out from the National Home Education Research Institute. And you can find this and other articles on nheri.org. So this is part two of a little series he's done reviewing some different research that's come out on socialization. Interestingly, even though we're quite a number of decades now into homeschooling in our nation, the question of socialization has not gone away. So this is still interesting. I'm going to read a bit of this. Scholars Seaver and Pope from 2022 addressed this question about socialization by examining the extracurricular activities, information about leadership and political participation during K through 12 and young adulthood of adults who were home educated, public schooled, and private schooled while growing up. So he's comparing all three of these forms of education. The formerly homeschooled were more agreeable. Now I'm skipping now to the findings. These are the findings of the research. The formerly homeschooled were more agreeable than the public schooled, but no different from privately schooled. There was no significant difference in terms of conscientiousness or neuroticism between the schooling types. The formerly homeschooled and privately schooled adults were significantly higher in, quote, degree of openness to experience, end quote, than the formerly public schooled. There was no significant difference by schooling type regarding volunteerism, scholastic activities, artistic activities, sports, and leadership activities. Formerly homeschooled adults reported significantly more club activities than the publicly schooled, but not significantly more than the privately schooled. The homeschooled had the highest rate of political participation and significantly more than the privately schooled, but not significantly more than the publicly schooled. So that's really interesting because homeschooled students seem to be in a lot of ways similar to all the others. And then in some ways, better, but similar to private school. And then in this last one, it's interesting that the rate of participation in politics is first homeschool, then public school, and then private school. Anyway, that should confirm everyone's worst fears, right? That homeschoolers are going to be political, and they're going to try to take everything over. Of course, I've heard that threat from those who are seeking to more and more regulate it. Of course, our desire is just to be good citizens and to be engaged in important political and moral issues. So once again, we're going to put the link to this research and other research that you can find at the NHERI or National Home Education Research Institute website. We appreciate Dr. Ray for reviewing and continuing to bring us this kind of research. A couple of quick things on the Thrive Conference, which is coming up soon, May 23rd through the 25th at the Benton Convention Center in Winston-Salem. If you haven't registered, you can go to nche.com/thrive and find out about that. One of the things that is coming out this week is the list of vendor workshops. We have a wonderful and massive vendor hall that you can go to. And by the way, if you're registered for the conference, of course, you can go to that, but you can also register just for a vendor pass so that you, even if you're not at the rest of the conference, you can go to the vendors. And one of the things that the full conference registration and the vendor registration qualifies you for is to go to the vendor workshops. So some of the vendors are giving really helpful workshops, and that adds just to all the rest of the workshops. So you can go to that website I mentioned, and we'll have that in the show notes, and you can go see all of the workshops that are going to be coming up from the vendors at the conference. Okay, moving to homeschool conversations. I had a wonderful conversation with Will and Miki Addison, a couple of fantastic people. I'm really looking forward to seeing them at the conference coming up. They're going to be one of our keynote speakers, in addition to being a featured speaker. The Addisons are the founders of Straight Edge Ministries and Culture Proof, a movement to equip followers of Christ to resist wicked cultural trends by applying God's word, the straight edge. They are the co-hosts of the Culture Proof podcast and conference speakers with a specific focus on culture and its impact on Christian families. They've been married 19 years and they are raising 6 incredible children. So this is one portion of my conversation with them. So let's check it out. Will and Miki, it is so good to have you guys on the show.
Thanks for having us. Yes.
And we're super excited that you guys are going to be some of our featured speakers at the upcoming Thrive Conference. That's May 23rd through the 25th. So we're actually going to get to see you guys live very soon. And so we wanted to make sure that we could get to know you a little bit and also look at some of these really exciting workshops you have planned. It looks like a pretty heavy focus on culture and race, but I also love the spiritual focus here. I'm gonna dive right into the middle on Psalm 78, the route to an awakening. And I say the middle because that's actually the one scheduled in the middle. That really piqued my interest, just because I just have such a desire and interest in awakening and revival and seeing people really draw near to the Lord. So could you guys help me know what that workshop's about a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. You know, in my reading, came across Psalm 78, and there were some things that stuck out to me. So, you know, Psalm 78 is a masculine of Asaph, who was one of the writers. He was a seer. He was close to David. He wrote a lot of psalms. But he talks about something here. It's mainly about making sure that generations that follow understand the goodness of God. And so in Psalm 78, we see generation after generation mentioned, and for them to know the goodness of God and who God is. And he goes through a whole history of what happened in Israel. And as I was reading this, I was like, man, this is where the gospel takes root and where the gospel should be first presented. It should be in our homes. And I always say that if the first place that the gospel is heard by our children is at church, I believe we fail. Mm. I believe that the gospel should be heard first in the home, because what the church does, it comes alongside the home to supplement what's happening there. Mm. So if all the efforts are in the church or in the youth group and things like that, we're failing. And so just looking at Psalm 78 and seeing how it was so important that the generations would understand the goodness of God and how it went from the father to their father to, you know, to their children, then to the children's mm-hmm. children and the ones that were unborn. Mm-hmm. Even he said that they all would know the goodness of God. And so mm-hmm. it impressed upon my heart that we have to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And we have to disciple in our home that our children would know, our children's children, and those who are to come in the future, that it would be carried on through the family. So this is the route for the gospel, and it's through the family.
So in this workshop, will you be giving some ideas for discipling at home and things like that?
Yes, definitely. That's a big piece of what we talk about each and every day. We understand that that's a weak point in the church, discipleship. Like, we're good at getting people to come to, you know, service and things like that, come to church and do events and activities. But discipleship has been a missing component. And that has to first happen, I believe, in the home. And so we know Deuteronomy chapter 6. We understand that that we have to first have it in our hearts, and then we can teach it diligently to our children. And so there will be a lot of focus on this talk about discipleship and how we can practically do that.
Before we move on to another one, could you give us one of the practical tips of how can families do that?
Yeah, definitely. One piece of discipleship that I do with my sons, my little ones, at nighttime is we go through scripture. We memorize scripture before they go to bed. You know, I sing a song. It's the same song every night. They want to hear it. And it's holy, holy, holy. Yeah. And if I don't sing that song, if I kind of forget, my youngest, the 3-year-old, would say, "You didn't sing holy.
We're going to have a bad night. It's not going to be a restful night." Yeah.
I hear you.
But
yeah.
Before they go to bed, we have some scriptures that we go through, and they have memorized these scriptures, mm-hmm. you know, just because we do them all the time. We have a time of prayer. And one thing that I know that is doing it, they're seeing me as their dad, you know, facilitating this time. And I know that that's important.
Yes.
And so that's just one way. We also, I'll just mention this, we have a weekly catechism mm-hmm. that we do as a family on Wednesdays, and we get together and we go through scripture. We memorize scripture. And I just have to say this. It's not that I just want them to be only just full of scripture, just knowledge, but I want them to also live it out. Mm-hmm. And so what we are learning, you know, from the Bible, it has to be applied. And so part of the discipleship process is not only just memorizing these things, but how can we actively live this in our in our lives? And so they're gonna have to know that as we shoot them out into the world, they have to understand how to apply the scripture that they are learning in the home.
Yeah. And I feel like that's where the cultural piece comes in. You know, Matthew, you mentioned that we look a lot at culture, and we really do, for the express purpose of equipping our kids to be able to stand in the midst That's of right. a very dark culture. So one of the things that we want to do is, okay, so we load them up, like we have, you know, an intentional time of fortifying them in the faith. But all throughout the week, we are revisiting those scriptures. We are talking about the headlines with our kids where it's age appropriate. So right. with our teenagers, right. I mean, it's going to be active engagement, looking at what's going on in the culture, and then asking, where is this rivaling the truth of God's word? What do you discern as you read this headline? Or sometimes listening to a podcast with them and saying, okay, now, is this true? Or is this almost true? And what do we call almost true? A lie, right? And so how can you detect that in what you're hearing? There are times that Will the Great will, you know, we're gathered around the table all ready for dinner, and he will pull out a video. And it's a video from somebody who, or on somebody who our kids would be familiar with. They are well known in the culture. Even they are professing Christians, right? But there are times that professing Christians air in the culture, right? Yeah. They may give sort mm-hmm. of like a false presentation of the gospel. And so he will pull out the clip and say, "Hey guys, I want you to watch this. And then we're going to talk about it after." And so as he's playing the clip, it delights our heart that even before we get into conversation, our teenagers are going, "Wait a minute. Whoa, that's concerning. Whoa, what is he saying? Like, why is he saying that? He knows that's not true."
Yeah.
And so those are the ways that we actively disciple our kids. We want to teach them. Absolutely, we want to teach them, but we also want to live life with them where there are real-time scenarios coming up that we can say, "Hold on a second. Can you detect the lie in this? Can you detect the close to truth, but it's not truth?" And that's the way that we believe they're going to be able to stand in their generation, because it's different from our generation. It's not the same time.
That's fantastic. And I can really relate real quick, Will, to the bedtime night song, because many years ago, I turned the blessing, "The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you," into a little song. And I would sing that at night. And my youngest is now 10, but he is still the one who's like, "Dad, the song, you got to do the song, you know, don't forget the song." So that's great. So Mickey, as you were talking about the cultural discussion, is that something that just kind of pops up throughout the day and the week, or is there kind of a scheduled or a set time that those things are discussed?
It's both of those things. So as we live life with our kids, and which is the blessing of homeschooling them, right? That we get to live life with them. We can pick up on their conversation. We can hear the conversations that they're having among themselves. We can hear the conversations that they have had with their peers. You know, maybe sort of the conversation that they had after church. We have a Sunday meal every Sunday with the members of our congregation. And so there are other teens there. And so they, you know, have these ongoing conversations that then spill over throughout the week because they are talking about them. And so as we listen in, you know, we think, hey, this is a really good conversation. Mind if we join in? Like, can we like expand this conversation for the benefit of the entire family? So that we would call that a natural discipleship moment. Like, okay, so how did you respond when your peer said this? You know, I'm thinking of an example where our daughter was talking with another Christian, another girl, you know, and so we have some rules in place, right? So some of the rules, number one, our kids do not have smartphones. Even our 17-year-old does not have a smartphone. That is our choice. That does not make us more saved than anyone else. It is just our choice. Because again, studying what's going on in the culture, we just did not feel it would be best for them to have access to that, right? And so along with that, not only do they not have smartphones, but they are not allowed to just click on links on other people's phones or just walk up to other people's phones and look on their phones and things like that. And so we've warned them to be careful about their engagement. And we learned, you know, that our daughter was talking with one of her peers and she wanted her to, you know, look at a link that she had on her phone. And our daughter said, you know, I'm not comfortable just clicking on links and looking at things. She goes, I don't want to put things in my mind that I can't get out. And her peer said, well, you know, look, there are things in the world that you're going to have to learn one day. And so basically her peer was challenging her in real time, ignore your parents, ignore your caution. Okay. And this would be considered a safe space there at church, right? And she's saying, ignore your parents. And in that moment, you hope that all of your natural discipleship and intentional discipleship kicks in. And what I learned, and this, by the way, I didn't even learn from my daughter. I talked to her about it afterwards. I learned from another adult member of our church who overheard the conversation and told us about our daughter's response. And this is what she said to her peer. She said, you know, you're probably right. There are many things that I do not know yet, but I trust my parents. I trust my parents that what I know now is what I need to know. Mm-hmm. Matthew. Now, again, we are not going to be able to be in every space with our kid, right? We are not. And you know this, you've got kids in college. So what we have got to trust is that the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells them, right, will carry them through this rough culture. I mean, this culture is rough. We've got to trust that we've lived a life of holiness in front of our kids, that they know it's not just something we say. It's not just a way that we act on Sunday, but it's really through and through. This is our life. Like, it's the most important aspect of who we are. And so that when they see that, they can go out into the culture and live in that way. They can model that reality.
And it's not a thing of putting them in a bubble or
Oh no.
Because we expose them at our, you know, rate.
Yeah, that's right.
These things, you know, and things that they know about, you know, we talk about. But it's the Psalm 127, you know, it's being able to shoot them out as a skilled archer, you know, with accuracy at the right time. And so, like you're saying, we're hoping that the discipleship efforts that we're putting in at home will yield fruit as they continue to grow and they're more independent. And praise the Lord that we're seeing that, and we desire to continue to see that. You know, we have our big three, but we have the little three, so we can't stop now.
This is
an ongoing thing. And so we're just thankful to God for showing us this and how we are able to implement this right in the home.
All right, now it's time for some wisdom from the Word. I saw a cute little video today of a couple of girls wrestling. One was much bigger. They were doing some kind of martial arts, and the bigger one had the younger one in a hold. And it looked like it was some kind of exercise, because the coach was talking to the younger one who was trapped in this hold and said, "What's your objective?" And the little girl said, "To escape." And the coach said, "What are you going to do?" And she was wriggling and trying to get out. And finally she said, "I'm going to pray." And the coach said, "You're going to pray. Okay." So we're going to talk about the importance of this, because I think a lot of us feel like we are trapped in a hold. You know, there's all sorts of ways that we might feel as parents and as homeschoolers, where sometimes we get exhausted. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we have doubts and wonder if this is going well at all, and if we can do it. Sometimes we're overwhelmed or feel claustrophobic, like we're completely wrapped up in a bad wrestling hold. Well, sometimes I hear homeschool speakers and authors saying, "You can do it. You can do it. Don't doubt yourself. You're doing a great job." And I think there's a lot of truth in that. But I would like to suggest that, according to God's word, we're going to have to think about it a little bit differently. We're not going to start with "you can do it." We're going to have to start with "you can't do it." Okay. And I'd like us to look at 2 Corinthians 9:8 to talk about this. It's one of my favorite verses. I've mentioned it on the show before. We're going to take a little bit of a deeper look at it. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." What a fantastic verse. Now, this is stuck in the middle of a section, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, about giving and being generous with our resources. But here we have a specific encouragement embedded in there that has a general and total application. Just think about, it says, "All grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." So it's not talking about just finances, is it, or giving? No, it's talking about every possible good work that we could be doing. So one of the things that I want to mention first, or ask the question first, is raising our children and discipling them and homeschooling them a good work? I think you know it is, especially because in the Bible, it explicitly gives parents the responsibility of raising and discipling their kids. Now, home education isn't specifically mentioned, but we know that we have the responsibility of educating our children. But I feel sure that if you're homeschooling, most of you believe that that's the right thing for you to do. Most of you even feel like God has called you to do that. So here's a really big question that I think you know the answer to. If God has called you to homeschool your children, will He give you all the grace you need to get it done, to do it well? And you know He will, and this is the promise that he's giving. The important thing here is not, "Can I do it?" But it starts off, "God is able to make all grace abound to you." So our power, whatever we need, the giving of God, the grace of God, is given to us so that we are sufficient in all things at all times for every good work. And He doesn't just give us a little bit. He gives us abundantly, like more than enough. We have everything that we need to do these good works. So what does this mean? Well, here's one of the big things it means. Stop doing this in your own strength. Just stop it. I know I end up depending so much on my own thinking, my own plans, and my own energy levels, and my own ability to do things. And that is a terrible plan. Instead, I need to acknowledge that I am limited and that really I'm not up to this job, but God is, and His grace is. And so what I have to do is depend upon Him. So my relationship with Him, my time with Him, my prayer time, my time in His word, my ability to depend on Him is a critical issue that I want to develop. My ability to be aware of His presence and to walk in His presence and to seek Him whenever I need His help is another critical part of me growing in this. We know that he's going to give us wisdom that we need, the guidance that we need, the peace that we need, and the power that we need. So that's my encouragement to you. It is a promise that's extended to you, but here's what's got to happen. You have to reach out and claim it by faith. You have to seek it. It's not just automatically downloaded into your life, but it's a promise that's offered for you to come toward God and claim by faith what he gives you. So spend time with him, seek him, do it for him, surrender everything to him, and let him give you the grace that you need. He will do it because he's faithful, and this is what his promise is.
Welcome to Homeschool Helps with Amanda. I'm Amanda Wares, Homeschool Helps Director with NCHE. So it's been a busy day here. I think I look like it's been a busy day, but I decided to sit down and record a video for you guys. Today's topic is a very hot topic. If you're on social media at all or talk to homeschoolers at all, new homeschoolers especially, and that is, should you utilize online resources, online curriculum, online programs, or not? And if you talked to many of us that have been around a long time, of course, when we started homeschooling, there were no online resources. So, of course, it feels odd to us. It feels uncomfortable sometimes, the idea of a fully online curriculum. So I will say, I recognize that beginning homeschooling in an environment where there were no online resources does cause that little bit of discomfort. I understand that. And it's a different day and age. I get that too. But I still would caution you, as a new homeschooler, as an experienced homeschooler, I still would caution you about the use of a fully online curriculum. Because to me, and I've said this so many times over the last several years, the relationship building aspect of homeschooling is to me the most important benefit of homeschooling. And if we outsource every single bit of our child's education, homeschool experience, whether that be, and this is going to be controversial, but whether that be to co-op classes or to an online resource, then I think we're losing some of the sweetest, best benefits of homeschooling. And we're really missing out on the heart of homeschooling, of educating our children and discipling them at home. So now, is there anything inherently wrong with online curriculum? Absolutely not. Is there a time and a place when that would be the best choice? 100%. I could give you lots of circumstances where I have recommended for people to use online curriculum. Maybe there's a single mom who needs to work full time to support her family. And she very literally is not able to spend hours and hours one-on-one with her child. Now, I know single moms who homeschool are my heroes. And they most certainly, if they need to make that educational choice to use a fully online curriculum, I know that they invest in the relationship with their child in all those other ways. And can we all do that? Of course we can. But from experience, and this has been my experience even recently, the temptation when you outsource that educational time, you outsource those subjects, you outsource those classes, it makes it very easy, too easy, I think, to not invest that time. It makes it very easy to mentally check that box and say, okay, they're getting what they need from there. But that's not always so. So that would be my first caution against automatically choosing a fully online curriculum. Another would be that there are some programs out there that are fully online. And in my opinion, not just mine, lots of other people's opinion as well, but in my opinion, they do not provide a rich educational experience. They are not teaching students how to think and how to learn. In some cases, it is just read or watch videos and regurgitate on a quiz or a, you know, questions and answers. And again, to me, that guts the whole heart of homeschooling. Like, in addition to the relationship part, which is so, so important, another part that is just precious to me and to many about homeschooling is that these students that we get to educate at home, we get to teach them to love to learn. We get to teach them how to learn, not just cramming facts into their head that after they, you know, click those answers, they can just forget about. That's kind of misses the point of home education, in my opinion, again. So those would be two reasons why I would caution anyone to think twice or three times about automatically reaching for that fully online program or curriculum. I think a lot of people don't feel equipped. Maybe you're new and you don't feel like you know how to teach your child. You don't feel equipped to do that. And certainly the system out there lends to that feeling for sure. But let me encourage you, and this might turn into another video, that you absolutely are equipped. You can do it. Even if you're not a trained teacher, even if you hated school growing up, even if you're not good at math, you can still do it. There are so many resources out there, and a fully online program is not the only option. So I really hope that helps today. Have a great week.
Okay, thanks again for joining us this week. We'd love to hear from you, so you can send any comments or suggestions to thehomeschoolshow@nche.com. You can find out about other ways to listen to the show or how to share it by going to nche.com/thehomeschoolshow. We'd love for you to tell others about this if you think it would be helpful to them. So, and until next week, continue to homeschool with confidence and joy.